Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Dog Q&A call. You've got Shanoa on. This is the office hours call, the Thursday call, here to answer questions for my advanced and my apprentice students today. Lisa says, hey, is there a list of all of the Big Dog members somewhere? And the answer is yes, sort of. So let me show you where you can find all the Big Dogs. Give me 1 second. Give me longer than 1 second. Oh my gosh, I hope my internet's working better today than it was last night. All right. Let's see. I'm very rarely on here, but I'll go ahead and show my Facebook page. Normally I would have just gone straight to the Big Dog page, but I saw this post by, oh my gosh, this is so funny, by Terry Knight. Terry's actually one of our Big Dogs in Houston. And he said this is his latest rehab. And this is, I'll get this out of the way so you can actually see this here. This is pretty hysterical. So I just, wow. So rescue says just when you think you've seen it all. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, but let me go to actually where I was wanting to go. So it was actually one of our Big Dogs posts anyway. I'm clicking on, or I'm trying to click on, the Big Dog, the Phil Grove Big Dog private group right now. Hopefully it's going to let me go there. Let me see if I can get there. Let me see if I can get there. All right. All right, so I'm on the Phil Grove Big Dog private group page. So you can see all of the Big Dogs on here. I apologize. So I'm not, not super big on Facebook. In fact, I get on it maybe once a month to show you stuff like this. So here are the 2,000 members that we have as part of this association. So this is how you can get all of the Big Dogs. This is how you can reach out to them. Now you can post anytime. Now, do we moderate the post? Yes, we've got 4 posts that actually need to be approved. Kimberly usually does the moderation about 2 or 3 times a day. But this is how you can reach all the Big Dogs. So we typically encourage you guys to just reach out and post. So the quickest way to post is to go again to the main page. Sorry, I guess my internet's super slow here today. And then once you get to the main page, you can post out to all the Big Dogs. Now, again, we do moderate just to make sure that it is appropriate to real estate and real estate investing, number one. Sometimes we do have Big Dogs who whose Facebooks get hacked. So we want to make sure that if you are hacked, you're not sending out a bunch of messages that don't shouldn't be there. So you can see what everybody typically posts. This one is somebody who's about to do a contract on a flip. This one is looking for a reliable contractor for rehab in Houston. These are some of the comments that are in there. This is one of the Big Dogs asking for somebody else to reach out to her. Yulia is looking for 2 sub-2 deals as an example. And you can see some of the different comments that are under there. So this is really the best way to reach out to all the Big Dogs. So this is how Big Dogs want to be reached out to. We don't typically say, hey, here's a list of everyone and their email addresses and their phone numbers, just because when we've done that in the past, people tend to decide to spam people. So yes, you know, you're all Big Dogs, but they don't necessarily, you know, in the Big Dog Facebook group, it makes sense to be able to reach out. But if you're just kind of emailing and saying, hey, I've never met you before, but I want to email you, sometimes that just doesn't come off great. But you can do it on the Facebook page, just not sort of in a group mass email. But if you want to reach out to any of them, you can get them on the Big Dog Facebook. Not all of the Big Dogs are on there, just because some Big Dogs just don't do Facebook. Again, for me, I do it maybe once a month when I have to. I kind of gave up social media about 1.5 years ago, just so I can focus on getting better in my life and not be distracted by some of the stuff that's often on Facebook, with the exception of the big dog page. So when I go out there, it's just really to see what's going on the big dog page. But that's really the best way to reach all the big dogs. So, and then of course, networking at all the events. People have asked over the years, hey, can I just get a list of everybody? And it's like, why? So you can just spam them? No, what we want you to do is come to the RIA meeting. So we facilitate all these meetings for you, right? So any other program that's out there, you see them once and you never see them again. For us, no, we want you to spend time with the big dogs, but it really, the way that you do that and really build a relationship is by pressing the flesh, right? Meeting them in person, building a relationship with them in person. So that's what I would suggest, Lisa, in every instance. Now, if you said, oh, I need somebody who's, does this, that, or the other, we've got a list of folks in what we call the Big Dog Intro Slides, which I'm about to change to Big Dog Tribal Knowledge. And of course, you can reach out on the Facebook page, hey, I need a plumber, I need an electrician, I need this inspector, whatever it is, stat in whatever area you're looking for. And usually within 2 to 24 hours, you've got 2 to 10 people recommendations in there. So that's really the best way to do it. Derek says, where can I find examples of what activities a bird dog can do and how much we should expect to pay for their services? Beautiful question. So what I would recommend for that, sorry, I want to go back over here. There we go. We've got some special training that's perfect for bird dogs. So you can get it from the Big Dog Program Texas site, or you can get it from just going straight to Profit Starter. Profit Starter is a great training program to get people really kind of going in real estate and get them going very quickly. It's also a great way for folks who are kind of just getting started, and maybe don't have, and just want to get out there and get going as quickly as possible, and just be very focused. And of course, that sounds like, well, yeah, that's something we all want to do, right? Yes, but with Profit Starter, it is more focused on the selling of leads, being a bird dog, and or being a wholesaler. So it goes through how you can get started as a lead seller, right? So we walk through what that looks like. We walk through the model of how you can choose to sell those leads, walk through the model of finding investors and offering services to other investors, the lead capture websites, generate leads, get paid, etc. So this is a great site for maybe a new person, not necessarily a big dog, but someone who a big dog is training. So it introduces several different topics. Again, getting started as a bird dog, so what they need to do. And then this is training that I would suggest you go through, and that I would suggest you take your bird dog through, actually. So this is the best way to do it. If you just are saying, well, hey, let's just sum it down for me, I will do that too. Again, just to make it a little bit easier for you all. And I'm going to go through just a couple other things. So, and this goes through all the marketing that you might suggest for your bird dogs. And I was just trying to find, to see if I've got all of the different resources in here, but it looks like they're broken out by each of the individual weeks. But I guess if I were just to kind of simplify it, and if you said, I really don't want to go through this, no problem, I get it. What you would ask them to do, and what I've asked them to do in many cases, just to kind of prove their worth, or are they actually going to do what I ask them to do, is a lot of times I will say, hey, here's a list. Go out and door knock every single person on this list, and go and make me an appointment and tell them that you're working with someone who's interested in buying houses in this area. Go get me an appointment, set all my appointments. Here's my schedule for the next week. When I have open times, set me a bunch of appointments, and then I will go and I will take down these leads. So basically you want to get an idea of how much they're actually willing to work. Sometimes people say, "Oh, I'm interested in investing. I want to invest. I want to be, you know, I want to work with you. I want to, you know, apprentice under you. I want to do, you know, this, that, and the other." And then it's like, well, no, they just want you to hand them stuff. No, I'm going to make any bird dog who says they want to, you know, make money, I'm going to make them go work, and I'm going to send them a test, and I'm going to see, hey, actually, are you going to do this? So giving them a list is a great way, giving them a sample script. So, you know, we've got several different sample scripts in the closes, but just give them something probably even a little bit more basic than that, which is basically, hey, my boss is buying houses in the area and they'd love to come in and talk to you and see how they could help you and see if there's an opportunity to create a win-win. He's available tomorrow at noon, 1 or 2. Can I set an appointment for him to come over and take a look at your house and make you an offer and get some of the equity that you got in your house? That's it. That's really all you want them to do. And if they can do that and they can consistently do that and prove that, then later you will take them a little bit higher up. So later you'll show them how to do a repair estimate. Later you'll show them how to do a CMA. You'll give them some resources and tools for doing that. For example, the rehab helper, right, will help them do a repair estimate. The CMA, you can give them some of the free tools. For example, listingspark.com/market compare is a great way to do free comps. You can just show them how to, you know, even just pull the data off the internet and just, even though I hate this, but just get it from Zillow, Redfin, Trulia, and the tax record. And then you've got, you know, 2 to 4 different data points, and you can compare from that. And you can have them even start to make offers at that point, right? So first, they're just making you an appointment. You don't know what they have. That's step one. Second, they're making an appointment for you and they're telling you, hey, it might be worth in this range. Hey, it might need repairs in this range. So you already know what it's like before you go in. Then the third step would be that, yeah, no, I, you know, as soon as I was there, I pulled up on my phone to get an idea of what it was worth. So I did it on listingspark.com/market compare. And I pulled up the tax record and I pulled up Redfin, Trulia, or Zillow. And I just used the average of those three. And based on that, I made them an offer. Now they basically become a wholesaler to you, right? So that is the progression. Now, in terms of what you would expect to pay, it depends on where they are in the progression. If they're just out there and, you know, if you tell them, you know, go drive for dollars and bring me back any houses that look like it, they need repairs, I would say on those, they'll just give you a list every day or, you know, every couple of days or every week, however you set it up. And then you reach out to that person and then you get it under contract and then you close on it. And I would tell your bird dog, hey, every time I close on a deal, I'm going to pay you $500. 100 to 250, that's interesting. But I think a lot of people would say, gosh, that's just not worth my time. But $500, yeah, that sounds worth my time. I want to know more and I want to, you know, see what I can do for you and for us and for me. And then as they get a little bit more advanced, you may pay them up to 1% of the sales price. So for example, if it's a $200,000 house that needs $40,000 in repairs and they get it under contract for $100,000, which is 70% of ARV minus repairs, you might pay them $1,000, which is 1% of the sales price. And then if they're able to really tee it up, get it all the way through all the hiccups that happen when you get to closing, then at that point, you might want to pay them $2,000 or $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, right? And at some point later on, again, as you progress them through, and some people progress and some people never progress, and some people progress slow and some people progress really fast, and some people do really great at the beginning and then fall off at the end. There's sort of, in many cases, an expiration date for many bird dogs and even some wholesalers. So be ready to constantly rebuild that those resources to make sure that you've always got someone out there doing this work for you. And, you know, be ready to be shocked at how little work ethic that some people have, even though they say they want it so bad, blah, 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 blah. But you know, also kind of hope that, yeah, I'm going to find somebody who's just going to absolutely rock it out. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. This is one that I probably shouldn't tell, but I'm going to tell anyway. We have big dog Casey Jackson. He's in the Austin market. He's probably been a big dog for, gosh, I don't know, four or five years. He owns the ranch with Bill Busick, and he owns several very high dollar vacation rental properties where he focuses specifically on the vacation rentals where he can get, 25 people in the house, right? So these larger ones, right? So because he's so successful, so many people have come up to him over the years and said, hey, can I shadow you? Hey, will you teach me? Hey, will you do this for me? Will you do that for me? And one of the things, I used to do to people all the time is I'd say, hey, go read this book. So I give them basically a book report assignment, say, go read this book. And then come back to me and tell me what you learned from it. And then we'll have a discussion about it and we'll go to the next step. Well, most people, guess what? They're not doing it, which is number one, really disappointing about the world and society, but that's soapbox. I'm going to just kick off to the side. Number two, it helps me not waste my time on someone who would otherwise waste a lot of my time. So the way that Casey did it, and I hate telling you guys this because I don't really want you to do this, but something that he would do is he'd say, hey, I'll tell you what, I will work with you. I will help train you. All that I ask is for you to go on to REI Matcher, go through the training, whether it was, Profit Starter or Wealthy Finder, because these are the shorter training programs. This is like, 4 hours a piece or so, as opposed to Big Dog, which is like, 30 some odd plus hours. Go through that training and then get back to me when you're done. So Casey would in turn give them his username and his password. But one of the things Casey would do is he would always give them the wrong password. So, and again, this is like, are people really this lazy? They say they want something and then they don't do anything. But this is a perfect example. He said of the 10 people that he did this with, he said only one person came back to him and said, hey, I wasn't able to log into that site. It said the password was wrong. Yet all of these people had said to Casey, hey, teach me. Hey, train me. Hey, let me take you out to lunch. Hey, let me pick your brain, which is basically them saying, hey, I have nothing to do. I have nothing better to do with my time, but I just want to, use up your time. And as a real estate investor and a successful one, your time is very valuable. And time is the only non-renewable resource that we have as human beings, right? So I want to spend time with people who are going to kick ass. Pardon me, I'm just going to put it out there and say it. I guess I've been listening to too much Grant Cardone this morning. But that's who I want to be around, right? That's who you want to be around. And those are people that you can help build a relationship with, a partnership with, and something that can be really long-term with. So that was his little test, and he was so, so disappointed in the fact that no one really passed the test. But that is kind of how life is. But that's I'll leave it at that. So Derek, you had a follow up question. You said, would you recommend using a bird dog to set appointments for foreclosures or only in driving for dollar situations? The answer is no. I'd recommend them to do both. Driving for dollars is probably the initial bird dog step. Setting appointments with pre foreclosures probably the second. But I will say kind of combining the two is really where I think you're going to get your biggest bang for your buck. Cause just driving for dollars, people are going to get bored with that pretty quickly. But if they actually have a door, hey, I want you to go and knock on these 10 doors, give them just 10 houses, right, to go knock on, and then say, while you are in that neighborhood, after you go door knock, then I want you to drive for dollars for 30 minutes in that neighborhood. And by the way, if they didn't answer the first time that you door knocked, when you go back and 30 minutes later before you leave the neighborhood and go door knock them again. So basically, it's like, hey, you spent all the time going here, you might as well get something out of it. So I would have them do probably a combination of both. That would be my advice. So Derek, I hope that's helpful. Going on to the next question. Lisa says, when another investor is involved in a deal, there's no contract yet. What's the best way to tell if they're a big dog? There are two ways. You can, number one, ask them. Number two, you can actually go out and I think you can do, and again, apologize for not being like, you know, perfect at this, but I'm going to do a membership search in Facebook. So, and I will say again, not every single big dog is on the Big Dog Facebook page or on Facebook, right? But I'd say a lot are. So I would go and look to see if they're there. So that's the fastest way to do it. You could also call or text me or Kimberly, and we'll take a look and see if we know them as well. I'll tell you guys, I had a big dog come up to me the other day and said, "Hey, you know, I had a big dog do me wrong." And I'm like, well, who was it? You know, what's their name? And I start to go and look them up. I'm like, I can't find this person in my database. You know, so I'm like, well, maybe I'm screwing up. So I'm like, Kimberly, you know, Nancy, Phil, you know, do you recognize this name? You know, somebody said this big dog, you know, screwed him over. And Kimberly's like, no, unless they changed their name. And so we go through all this back and forth. And it's finally, it's like, yeah. And then I look them up on Facebook and they're not on the Big Dog Facebook page. And, but at least I see their picture and I'm like, nope, that's definitely not a big dog. And so you know, just be aware that there are some limitations. But if you want to just tell us the name, we'll certainly look it up for you. Or I'd recommend just for a faster response, just go to the Big Dog Facebook page. All righty. Lauren says, what list would you start a bird dog on? Would you have them work the pre-foreclosure list, or would you save that for a more advanced bird dog? No, I mean, so I think you heard, and you probably asked this question probably before I went on and on and on about bird dogs, but no, give them a good list and send them out there and see what they can do. You know, set them up for success. I mean, a great list is that pre-foreclosure list. And now that is a list that is really well worked. You know, there may be other people ahead of them, you know, but that's okay, right? They just get the experience. And again, you get to test the, is this bird dog going to actually go out there and do what I say? Give them a chance to be successful, right? And I will say, the faster you get your bird dogs excited, man, I'll tell you what, the faster they are going to want to do more stuff for you, the faster they're going to work for you, the better it's going to be for everybody. So give them a list that they're going to be successful on, I'm not saying that's an easy list to work, because it certainly is not, but it is a great list to work. So something to be aware of there. All right, guys, last question. So please, if you have more questions, I'd love to answer them, but you do need to type them in. Now would be a great time to do that. Glenn says, if a property is zoned single family and you want to get it rezoned for multifamily or commercial, okay, is getting it rezoned based on the area where it's at? If you can get it rezoned, how long does it usually take? So if there, for example, if there are other multifamily commercial in that immediate area, like on that street, on that block, and then on that street, or in front of or behind it, the likelihood that you get it rezoned is possible, right? Now every area is going to be a little bit different. So rezoning in Austin, as an example, might take 6 months to a year. It's ridiculous. Rezoning where you're at in Dallas may only take 1 to 6 months. But do be aware it is a process, and do be aware that it's not guaranteed. And you may consider just getting a super long option period as you go through and do that due diligence of how long it's actually going to take. Just to verify. So again, City of Austin is just ridiculous. City of Dallas, not as ridiculous, but it seems like all the cities are getting slightly more ridiculous in terms of the amount of time that it takes to do stuff like this. And it's funny because Bill Busick brought me a lead the other day, and he said, you know, Shanoa, this church. Is an old church. They just put it on the market. You know, it's a $1 million deal, or one point something. It's in 78704, which is a very popular big zip code right here in Austin. Where there's a lot of rebuilding, all this sort of stuff. And he said, it is an old African American church. And immediately I the hairs on my arm went up, and here's why. The city of Austin is now saying, hey, if, you know, and even with tearing down houses, for example, if anyone of, you know, historical significance lived in this property, we're not going to allow you to turn it down, or we're not going to allow you to tear it down. And in this particular case, the highest and best use was tearing down the church and kind of getting restarted. So, in fact, there's a church, another church that's in 78704 that is like, I mean, it's falling down in on itself, but it is a church. It is an African-American church. It is of a historical significance. It's no longer in operation at all. You know, the weeds are sky high. There's nothing that, you know, it's like you can't build around the church, but eventually that's probably what somebody will do. And the church doesn't even meet anymore, but they're not allowing it to be torn down because of that. So in Austin, like, they are really trying to preserve, and this is, you know, both a good and a bad thing, right? But they're really trying to preserve some of the, you know, historical heritage around some of these downtown areas, whether, you know, it's in use or not, and just kind of hoping that at some point somebody will put it into use. So there are many, like, kind of historical markers that they look for. In some cases, like, they'll hold you up for, you know, months, again, doing that kind of research to see, is it of historical significance? Did somebody important, you know, go to church there? Did somebody important ever live there? And I kind of feel bad for the owners, because it limits the owner's ability to even sell it, even if they want to. Because again, you can't raise it, you can't tear it down, for example, and bring it to its best and highest use, or you're limited in what you can do as a result of that. So, we're from the government, we're here to help. Gosh, I'm on a lot of soapboxes today, but that's how it is in Austin. Austin, there's another community called Hyde Park that they have not just the city of Austin, but they have like a historical zoning committee in the city of Hyde Park, and a neighborhood kind of protection plan and overlay. So they're trying to protect all the old houses over there, which I like and respect. But many builders have said to me, you know, I won't even build over there. Oh, hold on, guys. They won't even go over there to build because it is such a hassle to deal with not just the city, but also with the neighborhood, you know, association, and, you know, like, literally, like, oh no, you can't put these kinds of windows in over here. We need these special kinds of windows, so it keeps in the range of the historical nature of the area. And it's like, that's how, like, oh, so literally there are people who won't go over there. Now in Dallas, again, it is a little bit different. So you will definitely have better luck over there. So who can I recommend, Glenn, that you talk to in Dallas? So Big Dog Contractors. So here's who I can recommend. Ah, gosh, everything is just going so slow on my computer today. It's driving me nuts. Big dog builders. Ah, here we go. So, and I think you know most of these people, but these are some folks that can probably give some specialized guidance in the DFW area. So, Glenn, I'm just going to share these with you. Where can you get their names and contact? On the Big Dog Facebook page. But I think many of these people you know, and they have contacts even beyond this that can be able to help and assist as well. Ellen says, we got our first fix and flip house under contract subject to. Congratulations. And I'm so proud of you. Your first fix and flip, not only is your first fix and flip that you got under contract, that's a number one congratulations, but way to just knock it out of the park by getting it under contract subject to. I'm so proud of you. Oh, that makes me feel so good. So Ellen says, I hope the rest of the of your write-up is just as good. I've got my fingers crossed. Ellen says, we just received the loan information and are preparing to call the bank, Bank of America. What questions do we need to ask? What shouldn't we mention as we do not want to activate the due on sale clause? Yeah, perfect. So we have this file. I'm going to go into REI Matcher really quickly. So we have this file called the Authorization to Release Loan Information. Let me show you where you can get it. So here I am. I'm on the Big Dog or the REI Matcher page. We got training, Big Dog Program Texas. At the bottom, somewhere around here, we've got the resources. So you click on resources, you scroll here, you get this authorization. Where did I pass it? I think I authorization to release loan information. You get it in PDF, you get a doc, you get it in pages. Once you download it, and it sounds like you already have and actually have filled it out, which is wonderful. Then from there, you will call the bank, and all you are asking for is two things. You're asking for a payoff statement, and you're asking for a reinstatement quote. Now, reinstatement quote, again, will help you determine what is, since you're buying it subject to, how much you have to put in to actually reinstate. So you'll want to get both of those things at the time that you get that. And believe me, they are used to getting that question all day, every day. I know you're in no danger of getting the due on sale clause called. So what I would not tell them, and this is the obvious, and but sometimes you also need to let the seller know, don't say this. Don't say, I'm buying the house subject to the existing financing. I'm not going to be paying off the loan at the time of selling it. The deed's going to transfer to me, but the loan's going to stay in the underlying seller's name. Or don't have the seller call and say, hey, I sold this house and now I want to get this off my credit. I feel like I shouldn't have to create a slide that says all the things not to say when you're buying subject to, or when, you know, both for you as an investor, you as a seller. But gosh, you just made me realize that I don't know that we have just that list of things that you, I mean, obviously we talk about it all the time, but we don't necessarily have that list. So I'll make that list and I'll add it to the Big Dog slides. And we've got many things on, you know, the sub two piece. Let's see, control C. Oh, I think I just control Z, control C, control V. So what not to say when buying a house subject to. And I know Phil covers it, in the training, I will make a separate slide, just so you guys can understand what that is. But I went through them, verbally. So you got that, please. Yeah. Don't do that. But can you call and ask for the payoff? Can you call and ask for the reinstatement? Can you call and ask for an escrow analysis? Yes. Can you call and ask for what the foreclosure date is? Yes. Can you ask for what the interest rate is? Yes. Can you ask for what the monthly payment is? Yes. And you're fine in all those cases. All right. Chris says, What are your top suggestions for finding bird dogs? Oh, yeah, great question. Networking. You should be networking constantly. There are lots of other networking events besides the big dogs. So we usually, you know, one of your big dogs is not going to be one of your bird dogs. So just get past that. How do you find other meetup groups? Just go to meetup.com and type in real estate investing and your zip code. And that's how you find a ton of other events. Chris, so since you are, here in Austin, I'll just list a couple of them. I think there's a group called, Real Estate Ballers or RE Ballers. Here in Austin, there's a group, I think, called Investor Underground, here in Austin. There's, one of our, big dogs also hosts a, commercial multifamily, meetup, every Tuesday. His name is, Ken Harris. So if you look for the Ken Harris multifamily commercial meetup, great. I mean, there's usually fewer bird dogs, but sometimes you'll find some there. But you want to look for somebody who's kind of just getting started and somebody who looks and acts hungry and ready to work. So that's a great place to go and find them. So Addy says, do you sort the foreclosure list before you give it to the bird dogs? You can, you should. Kind of give them, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Give them 10 names. Give them your 10 best. Why not? If you're not knocking them, you might as well send somebody else out there who's on your team who is. That reminds me of I'm not going to even say that. Send them out there. Send them with your best list. Give them the best shot. Unless you're knocking on those, but the more knocks and the more knocks that come back to you, the better. So I am going to say this thing. There's a Lyndon Johnson quote that I thought was really cute, and it kind of applies in this. And so, guys, I hope I have all of y'all's permission to be myself, say it like it is, say something that might be a little inappropriate, but might be helpful in terms of how you think about it. But Lyndon Johnson, when bringing someone, I think, into like his cabinet, said, I'd rather have that person inside the tent pissing out than outside of the tent pissing in. So yeah, I mean, give your people every shot to bring more stuff back to you. Give them the best shot. Give them a list of, you know, 10 to 30 and see what they do. But yeah, sort it by giving them the best ones. Nick says, when door knocking the foreclosure list, a seller says they want to sell, but are now not answering calls or texts. Should I just show back up at their house? Nick, 100%. Yes. Do not give up. Go get them. And Nick, I think I shared with you, the book, Never Split the Difference. Okay. I'm pretty sure I did. There is a section in there, and it's about, and a lot of that book is about hostage negotiation and terrorist negotiation, right? And many people think, well, you know, this is real estate investing. I'm not negotiating for a terrorist. Yes, you are. So one of the stories he tells, and I don't have the book right in front of me either. No, I don't. It's down in my bedroom. But one of the stories he tells in there is a story about these people. And I think it was like the Bronx in New York. And they were holed up, if you will, in this apartment, and it was surrounded. Right. And Chris Voss, who is the author of the book and who is the negotiator, he is outside of that building or right outside the door. And he's just talking. They're inside the apartment. He's right outside the door. He's just talking to them and kind of, he said, half of what we do is, you know, sophisticated, you know, practice, you know, all this other stuff. And then he says, and the other half of what we do is MSU, making shit up. So sorry, you guys gave me permission earlier. So I'm just going with it at this point. So what does that mean? So he basically try to kind of get inside the mind of someone who's, you know, in that situation where they killed somebody, right? They're, you know, they're holed up in this thing, they've got guns and, you know, they're, you know, it's like a whole building, a whole city shut down. And he's saying, you know, hey, you're probably hoping that, you know, you're not going to have to go back to jail and get the death penalty. So he started to kind of say like, all the different things that were kind of running through this person's mind. So you can, you know, call them, leave them messages, send them text messages, leave them notes on their door. And do I want you to do every single one of those things? Yes. Let me tell you something, Nick. All of the money that you will make as a real estate investor is in the follow-up and in the follow-through. Even when it gets uncomfortable, like it sounds like it may, do not give up on yourself. Do not give up on them. So continue to follow up and follow through. And then I'll say this, this is what I do to put the ultimate pressure on every single one of my big dogs. And this is critical. So listen to this, take this in, absorb it, have this become you who you are. And that is this, Nick, this person you just said is on the foreclosure list. Okay. If you don't continue to follow up and follow through, and if this person goes to foreclosure, and if this person in life experiences what we call the atomic bomb, right? So can't get a job, can't get a car, can't get an apartment, can't get a house, can't get any of these things. Then guess what, Nick? That's on you. It was because of you that you couldn't sell them because you didn't believe in it, because you didn't follow up, because you didn't know how to explain it, because you didn't bring on other partners, because you just didn't give it your all. Okay. And you let them go to foreclosure. And because of that, now their life is ruined. I hope you sleep well tonight, right? So I want, and Nick, this is not just for you, but this is for every single big dog on this call. This is for every single big dog. And this is just how one should be in life, right? Don't let that, and think about it like this. I'm not going to let you go down like that. Like I'm going to pull you up. It's going to be uncomfortable. You may not want to, you know, talk to me right now because it is uncomfortable, but let me tell you, I'm not going to let you go down like that. And if you approach it like that, and if you approach it like from your gut and from a feeling of integrity and from your heart, man, the things that you will get done will be amazing, just in real estate investing and in life in general. So yes, do you follow up? Do you text? Do you show back up? The answer is yes. Listened, and I think I just gave you that book via Audible recently, but listen to that book and listen to that one chapter where he's going through and he's doing this hostage negotiation, trying to get him out of the house and trying to get him to surrender. And, you know, ultimately when these guys surrendered, they said, you know, well, he asked, well, why, you know, after, you know, 18 hours, did you finally kind of give up? And they said, well, because we finally realized that you probably weren't going to go away. and we believed you that, you know, we weren't going to get roughed up. We weren't going to get hurt, you know, all these different things. And you started to build that. He started to build that connection where it was like, man, you get me. You understand me. It's something in the book that he refers to as tactical empathy. And a little bit of mirror. I mean, there's several different things. But yeah, go through that book. You're going to really, really get it there. Nick says, I'm halfway through the book. I love it. I knew you would. All right. So let's keep going. Glenn, you're welcome on the referrals. Derek, Derek says the RIA Mastermind is an Austin meetup group. Yes. And there are several, but there are several others. It says every Thursday at 11:30 at the Brass Tap. Oh, the REI Mastermind. Okay, so Derek's giving you guys another for Chris and Chris. Derek is recommending another group in Austin called the REI Mastermind. And it says they meet up, I guess, it looks like Austin. Every Thursday, at 11:30 at the Brass Tap in the Domain. Check their meetup page just cause sometimes people cancel meetings, move meetings, that sort of thing. So just, look for that too. Lisa says, awesome quote. I can't remember. Oh, the Lyndon Johnson one. Yeah. Isn't that funny? So yeah, thank you. Yeah. Fareed said, where can I find the training video that trains how to fill out a purchase contract form? Yes, it's like Prego. It's in there. So let me show you where it is. I'm going to go back to REI Matcher right here. I'm going to click on training. I'm going to click on Big Dog Program Texas. Now that I'm in Big Dog Program Texas, I'm going to click on the right-hand side, MLS contract, special topics training. This is how to search the MLS, do pull comps. This is how to fill out a contract, a basic track contract plus a subject to addendum. And then also in the Shinoa Seller Toolkit, which Kimberly's got in Kimberly's Corner, Shinoa Seller Toolkit, we've got all the contracts out there and addendum and disclosure and termination and all that stuff. And we put out another version of a full PDF of all of them filled out so you can kind of look and kind of check and put little notes in there and all that stuff to be helpful and to be of service to you guys to make it easier for you guys. So let's see what other questions we've got today, guys. And then Hella says, I received a phone call from a seller who's wanting to assign his house that he inherited to a friend to sell it without receiving funds in his name. Okay. As you can imagine, he wants to avoid other family members to start making claims for their portion of the money. Okay. According to him, he was the only one on the will. Can he just transfer title to his friends? And then we purchased the house. I'm very cautious about how to proceed on this. What do you think about this one? Thank you. No worries. This is easy if he does it right. So, you know, he needs to, if he's really the only person on the deed and really only person on the will, is he going to have to produce that will? The answer is yes. Is he going to have to, you know, maybe go through some other steps either to get the will probated, or to go through an heirship affidavit? Yes. He can't just like, oh, I'm just going to deed it to a friend if he's not in title. So he's got to get in title first. So I would recommend, and I would say, yeah, let me help you through this. I totally got you on this. What we're going to do is we're going to bring this over to the title company. The title company is going to create a general warranty deed from you to him. Now they are going to just do some simple stuff just to verify that you're the only one in title, which from what you said, yeah, no, you are. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it under contract with your friend at the same time. And after the deed transfers to you, then I'm going to go ahead and buy it from your friend. Now, make it sound pretty simple. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's easy. Yeah. And then the title company, they're going to blow up some things like, well, how do I know you're the one in title? Well, the will. Well, we got to, you know, go through either a probate of the will or we need to go through an heirship affidavit. So they're going to kind of push them to do it right because, listen, Annalena, you are closing in a title company. No ifs, ands, or buts. And that title company is going to save you from doing something stupid. Now, if and not that you would, right? But that's how you make sure that you don't get in, you know, don't get in any trouble by doing this. Not in troubles, that's the wrong word, but do it in a way so that you can't resell it later with title insurance. That's really how to describe it. So I would say, yeah, I totally got this solved. We're just going to get it over to the title company. They'll create that deed for you. You can take that deed and you can sign it over to them. Oh, and then as you kind of get that process going, oh, and by the way, of course, they're going to just do a title search to make sure that you're the only one in title. And that's when it's going to start to kind of go probably sideways, but again, you still got some control over it because you brought them to your title company, Allen. Don't bring it to a regular title company. They will not know what to do with this. And they will blow it up. Bring it to Allen. Make sure you let Allen know, hey, here's the situation. I'm going to get it over here to you. So that you can unwind it, unscramble it so that I can later buy it. And he's going to say, ah, okay, got it. And then, so you give him the background, right? Also let him know you're a big dog. Let's see here. Lisa says, that is the best book I've listened to in such a long time. Thanks for the referral. Oh yeah, my pleasure. Chris, you're welcome. Addie, guys, and this is the last question, and it's not even a question. Addie says, I totally got it. Thanks, Shinoa. Okay, wonderful. Great, great, great. Guys, is there anything else I can answer for you? What else can I answer for you guys? Oh, wait a second. I had one of the big dogs, John, and Jared sent me. Okay, John's on. So John, you sent me a text and I was kind of answering the text on the call, which I hate doing that just because I don't like to be distracted, but I said you had a hot lead. John, did you want to talk about it right after the call or do you want to talk about it on the call? Annan Hella says, thank you, Shanoa. Another question. Oh, Annan Hella is typing her question. John, you can let me know if you want to talk about it on the call or after the call. You can call me right after the call too. That's an option as well. Jeff, who is on the call, I believe. You guys are like sending me texts and I'm decent at most multitasking, but not perfect. So Jeff sent me a text saying, are you saying that Dr. Poonawalla Ali is not a big dog, or was that another case? I was not saying that at all. I was just saying, here's how you find the big dog. So, and again, not every big dog is on here. So please look. Oh, you thought I was talking about you. No, I wasn't talking about you. No, I wasn't talking about you when I said somebody said it was a big dog and it actually wasn't. It was actually another situation. I follow. Sometimes when I read your text and it's out of context and I get all passionate about saying something else. And now you tell me, I was not supposed to say that. I'm going to stop reading my text messages altogether and just be very present on this call, because now I'm getting in trouble for a little bit of everything. So John says he's going to ask me about his question after the call, kind of sensitive. Yes, totally get it. Now we're done. So I don't see any other questions, guys. So I'm going to go ahead and call the call. Thank you guys so much for being on. Hope you got your questions answered. Hopefully it was a valuable call for you guys. And thank you guys for being on the call. Thank you guys for being part of the Big Dog program. And for my Austin Big Dogs, I get to see you guys tonight. So have a great day and a wonderful weekend. And I'll talk to you all later. Take care. Bye-bye.